Good morning and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
This morning, if you have your Bibles, open with us to the book of Acts, chapter 4. If you're visiting with us, and I know we have some youth from some of the other churches that are joining us for camp and some other families that are new to the life of the church, open to Acts chapter 4. We are going through the book of Acts, preaching and teaching through the book of Acts, the beginning of a new era. After Christ was crucified, buried, rose again, after showing himself and in many infallible ways, the Bible says he ascended to heaven. But then after that, the power of the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and the New Testament church was birthed, and the gospel began to go out into the world. And people, by the time we get to Acts chapter 4, are hearing the word of God preached. They are hearing Peter and others share that all that is happening around them, healings and signs and wonders, is being done through the power of the one that they had tried to take out of the world and kill and crucify, and yet his power is still being revealed through the apostles in Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4 and throughout the book of Acts. So when we get to Acts chapter 4, let me just quickly give you a quick backdrop of where we are. Last week we saw in Acts chapter 3 the healing of a lame man, a man that the Bible does not give specifically his age. It does tell us that he was older than 40. He was old. The Bible says he was at least 40. Older than 40. We don't know specifically if he was 45 or 50 or what. We just know that he was an adult man, and he's at a gate waiting, begging for alms, and Peter and John go to prayer, and on their way, they lock eyes with this man, and the bottom line is this. They, through the power of Jesus, say, "We don't have money that can help you, and if we did, it wouldn't help you with your need. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And they took him by the hands, the Bible says. Peter did, and the man rose to his feet. There was instantaneous healing. He began leaping and running and praising God, and you would have too if you'd been in his situation. Those of you who are so reserved that come and sit every week that think, "There's nothing that will ever move me. My song is, I shall not be moved." But if that happened to you in his condition, you would have been running and leaping and praising God. And they make their way into the temple, and this man is holding on to Peter and John, and it's a miracle that's taken place. And the Bible says in chapter 3 that all the multitudes, the people, marveled at what was done. And when they marveled at what was done, the Bible says Peter stood up and he preached to them Jesus. He told them that it was Jesus that had done this, not him, not John, not the apostles, but through the power of the resurrected Lord, healing had come to this man. Now, when we get to chapter 4, while they are in the temple still, the Bible says in chapter 4 that word evidently has reached the religious leaders of their day, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, even Annas and Caiaphas, those who had a hand in trying to destroy Jesus. Guess what? Now they've got to try to deal with Jesus again. Because when we get to chapter 4, they have heard that now this miracle has taken place, and they need to do something about it. And that's where we pick up. They go to Peter and John, and they confront them on this miracle. So let's read, beginning with chapter 4, verse 1. "And as they spoke unto the people," that being Peter and John, "the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people." The original word there says being troubled, sorely troubled, being distraught. They could not believe what was happening. "Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So they laid hands on Peter and John, put them in hold." They put them in the prison. They put them under guard until the next day, for it was now evening. "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word," that Peter and John preached about Jesus believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. It's an amazing story when you see that in just a few days, over 5,000 men have been added to the faith, have come to Jesus in just a couple of preaching sessions. That did include women, children. We don't know how many of those were involved, but at least 5,000 men now have come to know Christ through the preaching of these miracles. And so verse 5 says, it came to pass on the next day that their rulers and elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in their midst, they asked them, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we by this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." And then he makes this startling statement to them. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for as there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name," that being the name of Jesus. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years of old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, verse 23, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said unto them. Now, I will not have time to deal with this section today, but I want you to note this section. After being reprimanded, after being let go, Peter and John and whoever's with them, they go back to their own company, those early disciples, those early believers, and they told them what was happening. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and they said, "Lord, you are God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And God, take those threatenings away." Doesn't say that, does it? It says, they said, "And grant unto us, your servants, that with all boldness we may speak your word. By stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I want us to consider this morning four assurances of the gospel. Four things that we know to be true about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is an interesting thing that as I preach this message this morning, how timely it is in the environment in which we're living as Christians in our world today, not just in America, but in our world today. Because fewer and fewer people seem to have the boldness to stand to proclaim the gospel. I'm not talking about preachers, I'm talking about in everyday life, to tell people that what they believe about the gospel, because of fear and other things, and the pressure, the threatenings, the fear that is being placed upon people who believe in the gospel is at perhaps an all-time high. It's made its way into our United States of America even. We will see evidence of that as we get to the end of our message today. But no matter what anyone says today, no matter what anyone does today, God has assured us of some things about the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ, that we can rest upon, that we do not have to apologize for, that we do not ever have to fear as we proclaim that gospel. Let me share those with you quickly this morning. Four gospel assurances that are found in this text. The first one is this. We can rest assured that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be opposed by many. Now, let me add to that. You say, I already knew that. Well, let me add to that. The longer we live and the closer we get to the return of Christ, the greater the gospel will be opposed. Here is Peter and John. I shared with you earlier, chapter 3. Now, after this miracle of healing, there are the religious leaders. And by the way, I'm going to say not only religious, but political leaders are attached to this because we know that Rome controlled Israel. And those who were religious leaders were given only what authority Rome gave them. So we have religious leaders who are closely aligned with the political leaders of their day, and they gather these disciples, Peter and John, and they bring them in their presence because they have heard. Here was the threat. Now, I don't understand this, but here was the threat. They are preaching Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. They're preaching Jesus being resurrected from the dead. What a terrible thing. What a fear they had about that. And as you read, I read the list of those that were there. And when I read Caiaphas and Annas and those that were there, the religious leader of their days, I'm sure they were scratching their heads saying, hey guys, I thought we had this handled. And now this is continuing to spread. What are we going to do? And so they stand to oppose the gospel. Now listen to me, folks. I want to try to encourage us this morning. This message is not to cause you to be alarmed. It's to give you encouragement. You need to expect, when you tell people the truth about what we believe as Christians, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to expect that when we tell people that, many of them, as a matter of fact, Jesus said most of them, are going to reject that message. They're going to oppose it. They're going to call you names like bigot or intolerant or insensitive or you're not made to live in our world, because what about all these other things? And you're going to be told a lot of things. You're going to be put under the microscope of a lot of people. When you go to school students and tell people that you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, people are going to laugh at you. They're going to call you a lot of names that I won't say from this pulpit. And at work, they're going to do the same thing. We need to expect that the gospel is going to be opposed. Here the gospel is being proclaimed, and the first thing I notice is this. It was opposed greatly. And as we go through the book of Acts, even more it will be opposed. And so there's a second thing I want to point to our attention about that. Even when it is opposed, and by the way, that word, it says it troubled the religious leaders in verse 2. They were grieved, they were troubled. That means they were irritated. They were bothered, they were angry about it. How dare them? We don't want to hear that anymore. That can't be said anymore. We won't deal with that anymore. We must stop this now. Have you heard anything like that lately? Knowing that the gospel will be opposed, there's a second thing, and this is a delightful thing to me. Even when the gospel is opposed, here's the good news. The gospel still has the power to change lives. And I believe the more it's opposed, the greater the gospel is revealed through the changed lives of people. I love how thrown in the middle of this, after it talks about this opposition, I believe it's verse 5. I'm not sure, but I think it's verse 5. You can find it there. You can read. It says, but There were some who believed their word, and the number grew to about 5,000 men. When the gospel is opposed, you still need to understand, God, by His power, changes lives of people. They're fewer than those who would oppose the gospel, but don't think for a moment that today the gospel has lost its power. Folks, listen to me. When you say today, well, I just don't understand today, nobody's being saved today. That is not the truth. People are being saved today. For you to tell me people aren't being saved means that Christ died in vain, and He didn't die in vain. The gospel has the power to save, the power to change lives. And here are people who are believing the word of the gospel. There's a neat movie that's going to be coming out soon. We were introduced to this at the National Convention this morning. And come on in, brother. Julius, would you come pray for our brother? A couple of our deacons that would pray with our brother. I'm going to continue. Here's the thing that I need you to know this morning. As we face the opposition, we tend to think that people will not believe the gospel, but the truth of the matter is this. People will believe the gospel. Now, some of you are too young to remember the name that I'm going to throw at you. I was telling Carrie about this last night, and she said, I don't know who that is. Well, she's not as young as she thinks she is. But anyway, we found out at our national convention that there's a movie coming out soon about Steve McQueen. Anybody know Steve McQueen? Remember Steve McQueen? Some of you people do. Perhaps the greatest actor of all times. He is known as the greatest actor of all times. Still recorded as the greatest actor of all times. Steve McQueen lived a life that was so far away from God. He had fame. He had money. He had wealth. He had women. He had everything. But he lived a life of misery, seeking answers, trying to find an answer and a reason for life. Virtually at a point in his time when he should have been at the peak, and he was, he pretty much dropped off the face of the earth. He became a recluse, sort of. He just backed away from Hollywood, quit making movies, quit doing anything. Started driving his fast cars and his motorcycles, and soon he got tired of those and decided that the only thing that he thought of that might bring him joy in life was to learn to fly, and he wanted to fly a particular plane that was a vintage plane. And so he bought a vintage plane, but he couldn't fly it, and he found a particular man that had the ability to train him to fly. And he brought this guy in. The guy was a Christian man, didn't even tell him he was a Christian, and he taught Steve McQueen to fly. And as they spent time together, this man just shared the gospel with Steve McQueen. And in the process of sharing the gospel with Steve McQueen on a particular day, he asked this man, do you think I might go to church with you tomorrow? Now, that would have blown our mind. But as he had just simply, he just answered questions, shared with him the gospel. On this particular Sunday, Steve McQueen went to the church with that man and there received Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. And from there was a changed man, and wrote many different things that he left behind to help people to understand that what he thought could bring happiness and change him couldn't. But when he heard the simple truth of the gospel, God took a man that had everything, or thought he had everything, caused him to understand he had nothing. And he, by the power of the gospel, became a changed man. And there's going to be a full movie. It's going to be a big-time movie. It's going to be out. As a matter of fact, Carrie said, well, I don't know who that is. And I said, well, you know this movie that the kids are watching called Cars, and we adults like that too, the one that's hitting the theater? Lightning McQueen, I can tell you where that came from. Because of Steve McQueen and his previous movies with fast cars. And I want you to know, here's what I want you to know. You think that people, no, there are people who through the power of the gospel will be changed. They were changed here. They will be changed as we share it. And so we do not need to be afraid, which leads me to my third point. We can be assured that the gospel will be opposed, but we can be assured that the gospel has power. Thirdly, we can be assured that the gospel of Jesus Christ will require boldness in behalf of those of us who will share it. It's going to require boldness. Now, I'm going to say this, and some of you are going to get angry with me, and that's okay. Some of you are wimpy with the gospel. And I know what it means because I've been wimpy with the gospel. Some of us are scared to death that somebody might even think that we're Christian. So we try to keep people from knowing that we're Christian. We just tell them we're nice people. We just like people. We love people. No, no. We need to come to the point as believers that we are not afraid or ashamed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that gospel that has changed our lives. Two things that I note in the rest of this text, beginning in verse 5 through verse 11, that is this. The apostles were not ashamed when they brought them in the midst of these religious leaders and asked them what was going on. Peter boldly said to them, "This is happening because of Jesus. No bones about it. It's just not that we came and we just, you know," Peter could have said to them, "You know, guys, we were just minding our own business. We were just going to pray and this guy wanted help. We just tried to help him. So what's the big deal?" No, no. Peter boldly said, "We're here to tell you that you've tried to kill this Jesus, and you did, but he was resurrected, and he even knew that you were going to oppose him. That's why David the psalmist even said, 'Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Why do they oppose you, God?'" He knew that, but through this Jesus, I tell you, this man stands here whole. And I like what happened. They said, "Well, we can't question that. Here he is." So they boldly, unashamedly shared the gospel. Neither were they afraid. Later, when they were told, "We can't do anything to you about this, but we're going to let you go, but don't speak his name again. Don't share this message again." I love what they said. "You decide what you want to do. You decide if it's okay between you and God or whatever, but this is what I want you to know. We cannot help but speak what we've seen and what we've heard." And I think Peter was first thinking what he'd seen in his own life, how God had changed him. And I want us to pray. I'd encourage you to pray. God give you boldness. Boldness to tell people. Boldness to share with your family that you're not ashamed to be a believer. Teenagers, there's nothing wrong with being a believer in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you. Don't ever be ashamed of that. Boldly let people know that you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know you're going to be ridiculed, but we need to understand that the gospel will require boldness. And the closer we get to the return of Christ, the more boldness we will need. And I want to encourage us to quit praying like wimps. We pray, "God, protect me. God, don't let me be belittled. God, don't let people think I'm an idiot. God, don't let people call me names." It's not how they prayed. They got together, and here's what they say: "Lord, we know what's happening. Give us boldness. When we are opposed, help us not to run from that. Give us boldness to stand, just to tell people why we believe what we believe about your son, Jesus. God, give us boldness." And I urge you and I urge myself to pray that God would give us more boldness. Now, lastly, and I'm about through with my comments this morning, and this is a hard one. This is where it all gets muddied. This is where the trouble comes, okay? We've not said much this morning that's going to create too much trouble with the people around you, although it would be opposed. What I'm about to say to you is going to create some problems in your family. I want you to know before I say it. I don't know what that was, but anyway. What I'm about to say to you is going to be trouble for your family. Now, I thought about this morning, and you know what? I thought, "Lord, maybe I shouldn't say that." And then God said, "Are you kidding me? You just asked for boldness. You're not going to tell the people the truth." The truth is this: if you believe what I'm about to say to you, it's going to create problems for your family. If you believe what I'm about to say to you, it's going to create problems where you work. I know this as a fact. If you believe what I'm about to say to you, it's going to create problems where your students go to school and for your students. If you believe what I'm about to tell you, it's going to create problems in every area of your life, because what I'm about to tell you is the centrality of the gospel. And that is this: the gospel is singular. I'm going to say it again. The gospel is singular. When they were asked about this man and what had happened and they preached Jesus, I want you to look at verse 12. Folks, listen, verse 12 is not out of the Bible. This is the Word of God. And it's all through the Gospels, through and through. It started with Jesus saying this about himself. His apostles said it. All of those believers in the New Testament believed it. We have to believe it today. or else we are failing the gospel. As a matter of fact, if you don't believe it today, I don't even know how you can be saved. I didn't say you weren't saved. I don't know how you could proclaim to be saved. And that is this. Peter said to them, neither is there salvation in any other, whoever the other is. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The gospel is singular. Now, I cannot, neither will I, ever apologize for saying to people that as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that the only way a person can have a relationship with God that will give them eternal security and take them to heaven one day is through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross to pay the penalty for my sin so that I could have my sins remitted, done away, and my sin exchanged by His grace for freedom from sin, so that I could be a child of God. I cannot ever apologize for that. And what I mean by that is, listen, we are in a world today where if you believe and say that Jesus is the only way for anybody to get to heaven, you're going to be ridiculed, and you're going to be persecuted, and you're going to be picked out of the crowd, and people are going to call you a bigot, and people are going to call you intolerant. Even in your own family, they're going to say that. Where you go to school, they're going to say that. Where you work, they're going to say that, because we live in a world that has become so politically correct that we no longer can stand on our faith as believers and say what we used to could say, because now that bar of persecution has arisen to a new level. But that should not change us. I still declare to you today that Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man goes to the Father but by me. I believe today that there is only one way that I'm going to get to heaven. That is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. No other man has ever died and rose again to provide salvation but Jesus. And if you believe for a moment that you can coddle those in your family that say, well, but what about this and what about that? Listen, we need to boldly stand and say, I may not understand everything, but I know what the Bible teaches. And the Bible tells me that Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's the only way I can have my sins forgiven. It's not through another person. It's not through a religion. Listen, being a Baptist ain't going to get you to heaven. Some of that ought to shock some of you because you think it is. You think being a church member is going to get you to heaven. None of that's going to get you to heaven. The only reason we're going to get to heaven, if you get there and if I get there, is because Jesus died for our sins. And we, by faith, have come to Him, exchanging our sin for His mercy and His grace. And I'm not depending on Jesus plus or Jesus and. No, Jesus and Jesus alone. There is no other name given among men whereby we might be saved except the Lord Jesus Christ.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.